service. Glad or sad? That's the topic we'll be looking at today. And, you know, some of us may have personalities that tend towards being more melancholy, more sad than, you know, like the Eeyore personality, if you know Paddington Bear. Is that Paddington Bear stories? But anyway, no, Winnie the Pooh, okay, one of those guys, okay. But anyway, you know, we can have personalities that tend toward being a little more pessimistic. Others of us are just happy all the time. But glad or sad, we're going to look at that. What do you think about this family? Oh, yeah, there's the Calla guys. They're happy. And Mark and Mariah, the proud parents. And, of course, June and Grace, the grandparents. And then, of course, we couldn't let out Sister Brenda. She says it's very difficult to see that she's a grandma now. But that's the little guy, isn't he cute? Michael Ray. And so that makes us glad when a new baby is born and hold it in your arms, whether it's your child or your grandchild, you will feel that excitement, that gladness. Switch gears a little bit. I just introduced you to Michael Ray Calagai. Does anyone recognize this person? If you do, raise your hand if you recognize. Okay, Cammie, you'll recognize him. Who is that? That is Dr. Theodore Seuss Geisel. Is that who you're thinking of? Okay, all right. So, Dr. Seuss, anybody read Dr. Seuss books? Oh, I loved them as a kid, and I loved reading them to my children. Of course, The Cat in the Hat is probably one of the famous. I think they even made a movie about that. I haven't seen that one. But I'm going to quote a little bit from Hop on Pop. And then Hop on Pop, he does a little bit of glad and sad thing. So kids, you want to see this? Sad dad, bad had. And you see the kids over saying, dad is sad, very, very sad. He had a bad day. What a day, dad. I love reading kids' books. They're fun. But then on the opposite thing, it says, dad is glad. Very, very glad. He had a good day. What a day dad had. Glad dad. So kids, how many of your dads are glad today? Never mind. Sorry. You don't have to tell me. Okay. Anyway. That's built on circumstances and events of a day. That's generally the way the world looks at what makes me glad. But the Bible has a little different slant on this. And that's what we're going to look at, glad and sad. What does the Bible have to say about it? If you were going to just try to see what the Bible had to say about glad or sad, what do you think you'll see the most verses about glad? Any particular book of the Bible? The glad book? Psalms. Yeah, now remember, David was anointed by God in a special way, and he wrote many of the Psalms. The majority of the Psalms are penned by David. And Holy Spirit came upon him in a very powerful way. And we know when he used to sing songs, even King Saul, mean, bad King Saul, was calm. What was going on there? David had captured some of the gladness that is ours in Christ. By the way, you have something that David didn't have, and that is Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. This is just for free. Holy Spirit came upon David. But for you and I, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Yeah, and he has made me glad. Okay, let's look at glad and sad a little bit. Boys and girls, What is this word? Where's my red light? Maybe. So it's not gonna be able to use my red light. Okay, boys and girls, help me say the word glad. Say glad.
Glad.
Can we say it a little louder?
Glad.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna need your help as I preach this sermon today. Every time you see the word glad, I won't say it, but I'm gonna look to you, okay? I think you'll catch it. Let's hope the slides will advance. Let's see. Yeah. This first one comes from Psalm 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad. Oh, I will be
glad
and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I'm going to turn off my phone. It might be giving us some interference. Okay. We'll see if that helps a little bit. Okay. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Not just a little bit of me. I'm going to praise you with my whole being. And I will tell. I will be glad. I will. It's a choice. You know, often we say love is a verb, right? It's an action. It's a choice. It's not just a feeling. The same thing with being glad. It involves some volition. It involves a choice. And this is, I will tell of your wonders, how you created the earth. I will tell of your wonders of how, even though your people were so wicked, and you brought the flood, you spared Noah and his family. And you know what? You raised up Father Abraham. You called him. And then you took Isaac and Jacob and then turned that into 12 tribes of Israel, a nation you delivered from Egypt, a nation you raised up to be the most powerful and glorious nation on earth. They rebelled against you. You judged them. Yeah. And then you let them go back to Jerusalem, rebuild Jerusalem. And then you brought the Messiah. And the Messiah was crucified, dead, buried, raised up on high, gave the Holy Spirit. And that Messiah, that same one, is coming back to judge. We know all this stuff. We believe all this stuff. And we respond to it because we know that life is not just about this little experience right now. It's more grand. There's a history. There's a God who has been moving and acting since creation and until the final day of judgment. So I will tell of your wonders, and I will be glad and rejoice in you because you've let me know you. You awesome God, you have done all these wonders. So I'll also sing. We'll get back to that. Psalm 21, surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him
glad.
Thanks. With the joy of your presence. And Roberto's prayer as he's responding to some of the music we were singing, in your presence, this thing to bask in your presence, you know, what does that mean? I mean, just get and hang out and enjoy Jesus. And I think that's what he was trying to do when he exhorted us, when we sing our music, just don't sing it to thin air, but no, as unto the Lord. Enjoy his presence. The Pope recently visited, Pope Francis recently visited the United States. And did you see some of the clips, you know, the film clips and items? One I liked was when he was talking to the prisoners. And there's an African-American, I guess, you know, he's about 250 pounds. And he's got his hand on the Pope's shoulder. You know, we're buddy-buddy, you know, just hanging out. He's just enjoying the presence of the Pope. Yeah. Surely you have granted him, her, the believer, unending blessings. They don't end. And you've made him, her, glad with the joy of your presence. Yeah. Jesus. And Psalm 31:7 says, I will be, that's better, and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. God is not saying just, what's that song we used to sing? Don't be sad, just be happy. I forget what, you know, don't worry, just be happy, right? God knows your worries, and as Pete prayed in his prayer, bring your worries to the Lord and talk to him about it, you know? Some of us have some very life struggles that are very difficult. God doesn't want us to just pretend that they don't exist. No, he wants us to know that we can still be glad. Why? Because you see my affliction, Lord, and you know the anguish of my soul. So if you're really down and you're feeling depressed, you can still be glad because God knows all about it and the reasons for it. Be. Oh, come on. We got to be louder, glads. Come on. Be.
Glad.
There we go, kids. Okay, be.
Glad.
In the Lord. You know. And rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Shout. Quite frankly, I don't have too much to shout about my favorite football team. We are having a really, really bad year. But Australians last night had something to shout about. The Welsh have something to shout about. And if you look at Twickenham or Cardiff, wherever they're playing these big Rugby World Cup things, and the fans there, you think they're quiet? Well done. What'd you think, Prince William? Does that look well? Yeah, even Prince William lets his hair down. Well, what hair he has. And he's really enthusiastic. He yowls and shouts. And you know, we go! Okay. Well, it says we're supposed to shout for joy. Now, there's people who've taken this to the extreme. It's a cult in China. It's called the Shouters. And they believe you really need to shout. For God to hear you. He'll be pleased when he hears you shout, when you talk to him. And I've been in India and prayed with people. They would pray throughout the night, and we'd get on this mats and pray. And some of these guys, they thought God was deaf. You know, I mean, they shouted until they were hoarse. I don't think that's quite what we're getting at, but there is a time when we should shout. And when is that? Well, let's read Psalm 40:16. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and
gladness.
That's a hard word. Gladness, yeah. And gladness in you. And may those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. Okay, now we're not a cult. We're people who are holding on to the grace of the Lord by faith. But you know, I think it's time for us to give a shout. You know, I can say, yeah, what a great goal. You know, what a try. Man, that was a great golf shot. Wow. Is your Lord great? Yes, he is. Our Lord is great. Okay, 1, 2, 3, and we're going to shout, guys. Let's wake up. Some of the adults are going to sleep, all right? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is great. Okay, now I didn't mind. I better not do that anymore. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I hope you really believe that. He is great. We may think, man, he's so great. Why is all this crazy stuff happening? But believe me, that crazy stuff is going to get judged. And there's only one way to escape that coming judgment, and that's through faith and a living relationship, being friends with God through faith in Christ. The Lord is great. He will not be mocked. But let the righteous be
glad.
Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them exceedingly rejoice. Righteous. How many of you guys are righteous out there? You know, Bob McLeod, I really love it. His hand went up just like that. I know Bob, he's a friend of mine, okay? Our righteousness does not come through works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. I often call this the great swap. God, for our sake, made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in him. The perfect man lived the perfect life was Jesus Christ. The perfect man goes to the cross to die. Why? He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us, for our sake. Righteous people, people in Christ, be glad. Yes, be glad. Because we know it's only by grace alone, this faith we have, that we came to faith, that someone shared the love of God with us, and Holy Spirit, open our eyes to truly believe, not just know about, but really believe that God died for us. His Son died for us. So exceedingly rejoice. The Lord is great. Psalm 70, verse 4 says, "Let all those that seek you rejoice and be in you, and let such as love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open." God is not a God who's a peekaboo God. And if you're not in Christ yet, if you're just wondering, is this Jesus really real? All I do is ask you to talk to God and just tell him, look, I've got some doubts. I don't really know. Were you really a historical figure? Can I really trust your revelation, this thing they call the Bible? If you truly seek, you will find. God is not a God of peekaboo, and he's revealed himself in so many marvelous ways. If we could hear some of the testimonies of these different people here of how God has shown himself to them individually and to their families, what he's doing even now. Let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Seek and be glad. Continually, as you rejoice in the salvation. This is a pretty good one. Serve the Lord with
gladness.
Come before his presence with singing. I like the little bird out there singing, you know. Maybe that bird is getting ready to go get worms for its babies or get twigs and build a nest. I don't know. Maybe it's just going to sit there and sing like a bird does. You know, certain scientists say all birds, they have these different songs. Well, they do. They have songs for mating calls. They have songs for territorial calls. But then they also have these songs which they don't know what to describe as other than they're singing. They're singing to God's glory. You and I have different calls. We'll have to go to work tomorrow. In the office, some of us have to go to school tomorrow. Serve the Lord with gladness at school, in the workplace. Serve the Lord with gladness when you're washing the dishes, when you're changing the diapers, when you're cooking the meal, when you're mopping up the water that's come through the windows from the typhoon. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's what we do on Sundays together, and that's why we're so grateful for our worship teams to help us sing together, come into his presence to worship him and serving him. It actually is service. We've missed Lucas. I'm glad to see him back. Marcelli, I saw you walk by too. Welcome back, gang. But it's good to have a drummer. It's good to have everyone here from the worship team, their different instruments, but it just doesn't happen. They walk in, they pick up their instruments. No, they got to practice. Got to work on a few things, the vocals and the harmonies and all that. It takes a little bit of work. It's serving the Lord with gladness, and may the Lord continue to bless our worship teams with such a spirit of gladness because we're coming before his presence with singing. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. So, this is not the day the typhoon made. This is not the day that my boss made. No. Unless you think of your terms of the boss being the Lord Jesus. Yeah. This is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. So, be glad. Because today is the day he made. No one else. He did. Okay. I was
glad
when they said to me, Typhoon 3, we don't have to go to church today. I was
glad
when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hey, kids, now be honest. Or is anybody out there glad when you got up out of the bed this morning, it's the rain and everything? Do we really got to go to church, Dad? Does anybody say, I'm really glad I can go to church? Anybody up there? Okay. I got a testimony. Thank you. Bless you. Okay. All right. Yeah. Elizabeth, you weren't here during announcements, but we do thank you and your team getting here super early to get this meal ready for us. Yeah. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I hope that's your experience, that you're not feeling, well, I got to go to church. I should, whatever. You know, I hope you feel glad about it, this countenance thing. Well, for right now, DC College is our house of the Lord. Some of us have been backgrounds where we've gone into buildings that cost millions of dollars, beautiful cathedrals, if you want to call it that, beautiful places of worship, outstanding architecture. But this is what we got right now. But there's this new Jerusalem that's coming up, and nothing can compare to it. When the new heavens and new earth and new Jerusalem are here, we are going to do what? We are going to worship in such a grand style. Wow. Yeah. we're going to really be glad to go to church. It's not going to be a hardship just because mom and dad made me go. No, it's be very glad. Okay, here's one artist's rendition of what it might have looked like hanging out with Jesus. What do you think about these kids and Jesus? They look glad? They don't look sad, do they? What would it be like? Just hang out with Jesus. What do you think it'd be like? I get kind of scared, you know. I see Revelation. I hear what Ezekiel saw and what Isaiah saw. And I said, man, that's too awesome for me. I don't want to get too close to that. That's really... I think we'll see God in all that great glory and his awesome holiness. But I also think we'll see this side of his gladness, his presence, which will put a smile on our face. Our countenance will show that, yes, we have been with God. We have been with God. Okay, I can't see Jesus today, except through eyes of faith. The scriptures tell, as Paul says, the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So I do life with Jesus. What do I mean by that? Set the Lord before you. I've set the Lord always before me. Now, again, this is David's psalm. He doesn't have the Lord Jesus says, come on, Lord, like this. You know, he's doing this in the spirit. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. As Pete was praying, live by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. And we will be glad. Let me put this. What are these kids doing? Can you imagine having to live without your cell phone? Without a smartphone? Could you do it? Hey, put it down. That's right. You can't do it. You can't live without it, can you? Well, this is what I'm getting at. You can't really have abundant life without Jesus. We had a great day yesterday morning with some men, breakfast, and we're getting ready to leave. And Ev gave me a little assignment to move 2,000 tons of supplies from the office to here. But fortunately, I had five helpers there, you know, and we got it down to the street, trying to get a hired car, and you know, you get the sign, sorry, everything's busy right now. And so one of our brothers, I won't mention his name, but Deepak called, and he gets the car. I said, how did you do that? He said, I just prayed, James. I don't know if he's teasing or not, but I think he was. And that's what I mean. You do life with Jesus. You never know what's going to happen, who you're going to meet, bump into, what problems you're going to face at work, whatever good things happen, you know, you just talk to Jesus. I was in someone's home visiting, and all of a sudden, man, I've got a clear, open door to share Christ with this guy. I hadn't gone for that reason, but it opened up like that. Okay. Cell phones are not bad in themselves. All right. I'm not saying that. Smartphones. But I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. Yeah, I got this one. But, you know, the Lord's right here. I can talk to him about anything. I shall not be shaken. My heart is glad. My emotional state is glad. My whole being rejoices. And my flesh, I'm feeling good, healthy. So the presence of God does have health benefits. James, I know a lot of Christians who are sick and ill. I do too. But it doesn't hurt your health to walk, to do life, set the Lord before you. Secondly, if you're feeling a bit sad, I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean? I don't want you to have such an experience that you do something different and strange. No. Look at Luke 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need the power of God in our lives daily. We need to appropriate that power of God daily. And one of the best ways to do that is by having set aside a time, morning, evening, or if you're really great at it, you do it morning and evening, where you pray and you have listened to God's Word. I'm not talking about 2 or 3 hours. That's for Martin Luther and those guys. But for some of us, we need to just try to start out with 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Open God's Word, let him speak to us, and then respond in prayer. But one of that bit of prayer should be, Holy Spirit, please. God, give me Holy Spirit to do what I'm trying to learn about here. How to be a godly husband. How to be a man who doesn't get angry with his staff at work. How to be a person free from lust, free from coveting. I need Holy Spirit. So we need to appropriate Holy Spirit every day. And particularly what inspires me when I read scriptures and I come up to right now my habit is I try to make a summary statement. I've been working through the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is telling Jerusalem, hey, look, guys, no matter what you think, you are going to be destroyed. Right? Totally. A third of you guys are going to die from plague and disease in the city. And then when you flee, a third of you are going to be killed by the sword. And another third of you are going to end up in exile with the rest of us. Babylon. All this is going to happen. So you can't escape this coming judgment of the Lord. And so I'm saying, well, what in the world are you telling me, God, about this? I mean, I'm a Christian now, you know, in this day and age. What are you trying to say to me about from Ezekiel? And it was that, James, you need to be warning people about the coming judgment. Don't soft-pedal it. And specifically, I don't want you to soft-pedal it to your two boys who are prodigal sons. And I want you to write an email to your sons. Oh, Lord, they just think I'm pushing it down their throat again. They've heard this. And no, they haven't heard about the coming judgment bit from you, have they? And they haven't. And so I did that and haven't heard since, from my boys since. Now, I don't know what they're going to respond, but most likely they're going to see that in that email. I copied Bonnie and I shared it with some friends. You can see that there's not a judgmental thing. It's a plea. I mean, I'm spending my life, giving my life with you and all our friends here in DB and people we meet, and we're asking them, be friends with God through faith in Christ. It's the only way to escape the coming judgment. And this is life. This is the real cutting edge of what it's all about. This is the message of the church. Brother Ivan, that's for you. This is our message, is that God saves sinners through Jesus. And if you don't believe, you got this coming judgment thing. You don't get to go to heaven. You don't get to go to paradise and be glad and rejoice in the New Jerusalem. You go to another place. For the young audience, I won't scare them, okay? Describe that other place. But I had to tell my boys that. In the Holy Spirit, I asked him for help to do it. And I think he blessed that email. The fruit, I don't know. But I do know that I needed Holy Spirit appropriation, power, to respond to the Word of God. I remember when Bonnie and I fell in love with each other. We began to find out that there was a very strong spiritual attraction. If you ever heard our story, you would know what I'm talking about. But she had a heart to go to Japan. I had a heart to go to Chinese, to minister to Chinese. And I'm beginning to wonder, is this really God's will for us? I mean, Yoko, I think you're here. There's a difference between Japanese and Chinese, right? So there's difference in cultures and different calls and stuff. I'm trying to figure out, what is God saying in all this? And so I went to a man named Oswald Sanders. He used to be the general director of Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He's now with the Lord. He's a Kiwi, and I'm sure he would be an All Blacks fan. He played tennis in his 70s. That's all I know about his sports. But Oswald was a godly man. He's visiting campus, and I went for him for direction. I said, Oswald, what should I do? Should I marry this girl or not? Bonnie had originally set up an appointment with him to get some guidance on her future, where she should go serve. And now, between that appointment, and we had become attracted to one another and looking at engagement. And so Oswald Sanders said, well, James, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple in one way. You just ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. So what's this guy talking about? Ask God for the Holy Spirit. Just ask him. Same for you. If you've got a point and a fork in the road and you don't know which way to go, what to do, there's no right way and wrong way. There's the choices here. You know, what are you supposed to do? Well, I shared that with Bonnie, and we prayed that Holy Spirit God would give us Holy Spirit and give us peace and direction and whatever. And man, that was one of the most Spirit-filled times I've ever had. It's not always like that. You can talk to Bonnie, too. I'm not making this up, all right? I don't make it a habit of just saying, give me more Holy Spirit, you know, this kind of stuff. But I do need Holy Spirit. You need Holy Spirit. And if you're having a problem with this gladness thing, you're in the dumps and you're sad. Don't be afraid. Ask God for Holy Spirit to help you get out of the dump. Lift up your soul to the Lord and cry out. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Kids, don't go to sleep. One more word. Gladden. Sounds like a plastic bag store or something. Gladden. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lift up your soul to the Lord and cry out. And here the psalmist is saying, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Now, does that sound like a glad, happy person? No. But it's a person who cries out to the Lord. Cries out, be gracious to me and gladden my soul. There is something in me that's so sad and I need you to gladden it. Cry out to God. Well, James, I've tried that. Well, all the day? I've never met somebody who say, come over and let's pray all day for gladness. I don't know. Depression's a real thing in my family, and we've seen it, we know it, and at the same time, I'm asking myself and I'm asking you, are you happy? Are you glad? Well, if not, it's all right. Lift up your soul to the Lord and cry out. Lift up your soul to the Lord and cry out. Be gracious to me. Now you see something here? Gladden the soul of your servant. When we recognize that we belong to him and we serve him, he doesn't exist to serve me. Part of our big problem, being unhappy and unfulfilled, is that we think he exists to serve us. No, I'm your servant. Give me your gladness. Well, I'm grateful that God has given us something called the Lord's table. And every time we eat and drink, we do it in remembrance of him. And we can't sit down on the side of the hill like Jesus was with those kids. But he has given us something to touch, to remind us, yes, I was real. My body was given for you, and my blood was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the children and the adults being so attentive. It's been a little longer than I thought, but you know, I want, and I believe you want with all your heart, us to be a glad church. You want your servants to be glad people. And so we do cry out to you for your Holy Spirit to flood us like we've seen in the rains coming down with the typhoons, like the wind blowing through the trees with great power. Holy Spirit, make us a people who are not giddy, but a people who are glad, because we know our righteousness comes from you. We know that you are great. We know that you have done these great deeds that will serve you and will sing to you. We realize that you are the maker of each day of our life. Father, I do thank you now for this table you've given to us, Jesus, to remember you. Now I pray you'd bless it, and as we continue to rejoice in who you are, it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.